Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 16.
I'm the phenomenal one, MovieSpoilersPodcast.com.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
And, tonight we're brought to you by salmon and lemon and some green bell pepper. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So good.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. Let me just change my pants real quick, whatever. Tell them what we're reviewing here.
We are reviewing Remember the Titans that beat
Do you remember the Titans now?
I remember the Titans.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Because when you saw this movie, I wanted you to remember that the Titans came. Remember.
I remember.
You remember the Titans. I ain't talking about them Titans from ancient Greece and all that. I'm talking about the Titans.
The black and white football team, I remember.
There you go. That one. That's the Titans I'm talking about. I want you to remember them.
From Tennessee, I remember. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, from Tennessee. Oh, yeah, up in Virginia.
Was it Virginia or Tennessee?
It was Virginia.
Okay.
Tennessee would have been a lot worse. They'd have hung them niggas in. They should be proud that it was Virginia and not Tennessee. Because they would have killed those niggas.
But remember, the Titans beat the Wrestler.
Wrestler, yes. Which I forgot who directed it, obviously, whatever. I forgot who directed the... what's his name? What's his name called? Remember the Titans. How did I forget that fucking title, even though I just got done telling you to remember the Titans? That's like 20 fucking times.
Do you remember the Titans?
I remember the Titans, man. I remember I was strong with the Titans. I was a Titan, you know?
You were a Titan? You were grooving with them as they were coming onto the field?
Grooving with them, man. Just grooving with them or whatever. That's right. The director is the guy that made Now You See Me.
Is it?
Yeah, but... what's his name?
Boaz?
Yakin? Some shit like that. I forgot.
Oh, he shit. He did.
Did he? Yeah.
Wait, yeah. He wrote it. He wrote Now You See Me.
Yeah, because I was about to say, oh, wait, I could be fucked up. Right, check, making sure it's there.
He directed, he directed Safe.
Yeah.
And Uptown Girls.
Uptown Girls. You know you're living in your uptown world.
But he also directed Prince of Persia.
Don't ask me how I know that song, by the way.
Yeah. Did you hear me? He directed Prince of Persia.
Or yeah, I heard that. I'm just going to ignore it.
Don't worry. Maybe that movie will make the show.
No, I don't want to make the show. That's not the Jake Gyllenhaal I know today. The Jake Gyllenhaal I know today is an Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah.
My God, it's some good cranberry juice, by the way. It's Welch's.
Ooh, that's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, man. You know, I had to switch it up. Last week was Ocean Spray. Now it's Welch's.
I figured it would have been homemade for you.
Oh, sometimes it is, but I don't have my Mexican immigrants here today. It's their day off, so.
Oh, I thought you'd do it yourself.
No, hell no. That's why I hire those immigrants here at the lovely Movie Spoiler Studios, whatever. I don't do that shit. I just sit here all day and just act like I'm doing shit. Cranberry on the rocks. There you go.
Is that spiked or is it straight?
No, it's straight. It's straight.
Wow. That's like a first.
I think. Hold on. Let me sniff it real quick.
Did you get roofied? Did you roofie yourself?
You know, sometimes I do that. But and then I just roam around, like, around my condo area. I just roam around and just, like, roof myself. I go knock on neighbor's door and be like, with my robe on and be like, what y'all doing in here? God damn it, honey. P1's... Roofied himself again or whatever. Just stay back.
They probably just looked at her peephole and be like, yeah, we're not going to let him in.
Exactly. They have, like, condo meetings and shit like that. They have, like, meetings or whatever, and then they, like, talk about getting rid of me, and I show up to them and be like, this guy they're talking about sounds peculiar. He sounds familiar to me. It's like, they're not saying his name, though, so I don't know who that is. I was like, I'm wondering why people keep looking at me. I'm like...
Is it, like, secret underground meetings that you don't know about?
Yeah, it is or whatever, and I just... like randomly show up to him or whatever, because I just like be digging around and they'd be like, oh shit, he's here. Ready to kick a Negro out. Anyway, if it makes him feel any better, I don't even feel like I live here because, you know, I always keep a suitcase right by the door waiting for the white man to come kick me out.
But, nah.
Because, you know, I ain't gonna lie, it's a nice place. It's a nice place, but it ain't that nice, but at the same time, it'd be too nice for my black ass to be here. You know what I'm saying? So,
it's just you moved up way too high.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if the police came in here, because I called, like, burglar or something like that, they'd beat my ass and take me in and be like, he's still here? Oh!
You mean if you called a burglar on your place and they'll just let the burglar go and just beat your ass?
They probably would. If the burglar was white, they definitely would. They'd just beat my ass and be like, that burglar's still here. they'd be like, "Wow, apparently this Negro burglar or whatever put photos of himself all over this place. Where have I seen this before?"
That would make an interesting movie.
Be the most racist
That's we're kind of that's kind of leading to where what kind of movie we're talking about.
No, it does, whatever, because this is the most racist movie
Well, it's not the most racist movie,
No, it's not the most racist movie either.
but for the
Most racist.
time, but it, for the time,
Color Purple is.
Purple.
What should I do about Harpo? Beat
I thought Roots was bad.
Hell, Roots is bad enough in his own right, too, whatever. A lot of movies are bad. Hey, nigger. Fuck you doing out here, nigger?
You probably
Watermelon Man is bad. A lot of bad racist movies.
think fucking like superhero movies are bad because they don't have black people in them.
No, I'd prefer if they didn't have no niggas in it. That'd be better, or whatever. If I was to say that, then I'd say those comic books are racist then, whatever, because they're just basing it off the characters. So I don't really give a shit about superheroes being black. The only black character that matters in superheroes is Black Panther.
Nick Fury.
They keep him right. Black. I mean, Nick Fury just barely got black.
He barely got black.
He barely just got black, or whatever, and like. The later comic books or whatever, so don't tell me no shit like that. Samuel Jackson is what made him black. Not even that character from the comic book. They didn't even give a shit about him. That guy was white most of the books.
So did he just get a really dark tan?
Been hanging out in the sun, dude, like here in sunny California. That's why.
Or you got Luke Cage.
Oh, fuck Luke Cage. Luke Cage's a bitch.
That's Tyrese's character.
That ain't Tyrese's character. That's The Rock's character. No, why you keep saying Tyrese? Tyrese did not get
You love
that.
Tyrese.
Tyrese did not get that role. Why do you keep saying that? I
You
don't
love
understand
Tyrese,
that.
that's why. It's your
Tyrese
dream.
is. He's a horrible actor. You just like bad things, though. You like bad movies, that's for sure. Just got done talking about it. You fucking burn no instruments.
I hate you.
Oh my God. Either you have a vagina or you're 16. Which one?
I hate you.
Both. Remember the Titans, though.
Remember the Titans, directed by Boaz Yakin, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, starring Denzel Washington, Will Patton, and Donald Faison.
Denzel Washington. Oh, that's all you got to say.
It started a very, very young Hayden Panettiere before she got hot.
Yeah, exactly. She was still a little hot. I don't know. I was kind of eyeballing her at times. I was just like, okay.
And you know, Ryan Gosling's in this too.
Oh yeah, of course, because this is a Disney movie. So this was back when Ryan Gosling was still Disney bound.
Think was this his first movie?
No, probably his first big movie,
Yeah, it
mainly.
was. It was.
Yeah, and he was pretty bad in it.
Yeah, and budget was 30 million, box office 136.
What's the synopsis here?
Synopsis is Denzel Washington's the head coach of a new at TC Williams High School, which is now first it's the se first segregated high school in Virginia. And it's this is right in 1971, so this is the hype of the racial tensions.
They're like, "Boy, we don't want your kind here." And he was like, "Well, sir, I'll shine your shoe. I don't want no nigga shining my shoes. But you damn sure can go kick that cotton out there, or whatever, in my field." I think they had that conversation, right?
I think it's something like that. It's
Hey,
something
exactly.
similar to that.
We'll go ahead and say this. If it wasn't for Denzel, this would not be a good movie.
Very true.
Denzel sells this shit like a motherfucker. Everybody else is hoking it up and playing cameo. I was like, this ain't the type of movie to be doing that kind of stuff. Denzel's like, "Come here, I'm making a winner. I'm gonna sell this to you."
How did he get not not how did he not get nominated for an Oscar for this role?
I have no
But he
idea.
won for Training Day.
Yeah, because Training Day, he was awesome, man.
He
That's
was
why.
awesome in Training Day, but he was awesome in this too.
Yeah, but he was better in Training Day. But he was great in this, too, though. I think
Like,
it's because of his supporting cast wasn't all that great, either. A lot of people, I remember when this movie came out, they were just like, "Oh, this is some kind of hokey ass racist shit." Like, really, the only one who's really selling the racism is the dialogue is great. The actors just don't sell it.
except Denzel.
Except for Denzel, whatever. And
And
Denzel.
Hayden Panettiere was awesome too.
Yeah, well, she was alright. I didn't
She,
like her
I
though.
liked her. I liked her.
Yeah, she's getting on my nerves. She's annoying.
She,
Her and fucking Denzel's daughters. Oh my God, I hated these kids.
yeah, I didn't like his daughters. I didn't like his wife either.
wife didn't never say anything. She had one line, and that was when Denzel was sitting by the fireplace. He's like, I don't know, mama. She was just like, you gotta do what's best for you. But I was like, that's the only line she has this whole goddamn movie.
But Will Patton was good, though.
I said they were segregating. They were segregating women in the movie as well.
Will Patton was good.
Yeah, he's okay. I thought he had some great speeches or whatever, but his delivery in them wasn't that great.
He seemed like he was he seemed like he was trying way too hard.
It seemed like a lot of people were. Like, mainly some of the white people seemed like they were trying to play it too redneckish. And I was like, Virginia's not redneckish, though.
Yeah, I would say, especially like Gary Bertier, with how he talked to his mom and stuff.
Yeah.
That did sound very like a southern redneck.
Or what about the dudes in the school when they was when Faison Love was talking to those girls, whatever, and those boys just came on and it was like, better watch it. I was like, okay, come on. I know it's racist down there, but they're not like hicks and shit in Virginia. I mean, this ain't Alabama or Tennessee or nothing like that, you know?
You mean Donald Faison, not Faison Love.
Faison Love. Oh, I'm thinking of the fat black guy. Faison Love. Why did I say Faison Love?
That's kind of racist, TPO.
I'm thinking of that fat black dude from Friday.
That's kind of racist.
I'm thinking of Big Worm.
Big Worm would have made this interesting.
That's a fucked up name, Faison.
You gotta admit, though, if Big Worm was in this movie, he would have made it interesting.
Shit, if Debo was in this movie, he would have made it. Why not get the whole cast of every stereotype nigga in this movie and put him there? But like I thought like between a lot of the actors, we're talking about the actors, I thought a lot of the actors had some great interactions with each other, and their dialogue was good. I just didn't like none of their deliveries, really.
No, you know one character I did hate?
Which one?
Sunshine.
Oh yeah, what was up with that character? I don't even think they knew what they wanted to do with that character.
No, I think he was kind of like shoehorned in to the script. What, I don't know, is this like a true story?
It's based on a true story, yeah.
But I thought he was just shoehorned in there, kind of just like, and the bullshit is, he like arrived later in the camp.
Yeah, like when they were getting ready to end, right?
Yeah, and they didn't do all that hard, like those 3 days and 2 days and stuff. He didn't have to do all that shit.
Hey, fellas, look at that fruitcake. Yeah, just keep your mouth shut and get back on that field.
Coach Boone, I'm Colonel Bass. I just got transferred here from Huntington Beach, California. This is my son, Ronnie, and he's quarterback.
How you doing, Ronnie? Sure. Coach Yost.
My pleasure.
We're pretty set at the quarterback, Colonel, but if the boy's any good, you may want to check out Wilson or Hannigan.
Well, I met Coach Tabor. He won't let blacks play on his team. The way I see it, if these boys can fight a war together, they can play football together. Now, he's a pretty good runner.
You're a fruitcake, huh?
I think we can find a place for you, boy.
Mm-hmm.
With one or two conditions.
Well, I don't know what it was, whatever, because he did just transfer from California. So I don't know if, like, transfer students, since they're getting there late or whatever, they're, like, it wasn't like he was starting. The only reason he started was because of an injury with their mate, which is funny because that was their only quarterback.
Yeah, Rev.
Yeah, Rev, who people kept saying back then, I used to look like him. I was like, ain't this a bitch? I do not look like that. I actually met that guy once.
And it was funny when they always thought Sunshine was gay because he was from California.
Sunshine! Sunshine. He was like a beach blonde. Like, the one scene, he was like practicing like a, not so much jiu-jitsu, but more of like meditation, yoga, and stuff like that. Or he was just practicing that, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was formally invented back then.
Yeah, and he was like, all the girls were like in love with him, and Donald Faison's like, he's from California.
California. And they were like, what the hell does that mean?
That's
It was funny when they said that. I was just like, oh my god, he's trying to teach them black slang.
And it's funny that everyone in the town, remember when they go to the restaurant after their win? And Sunshine's leading them, and they're like, they won't serve blacks. And they go, we're not going to serve your kind either, hippie boy. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, like,
they
we
got
already
back from the camp, and they got back from the camp, and they were, like, hating on the black people and stuff. And then when they saw him, they was like, we don't appreciate your kind here neither, hippie. They call him hippie boy again, too, whatever. Because, like, in California, we didn't have it as bad as Virginia. But it was just in scenes like that, I felt like they were, like, redneckish as hell. I was like, you could be red, and it felt like none of these actors were redneckers. They were just playing that part. I was like, you know, you could be racist without being redneck.
With the whole character, I thought, like, we already have, like, a massive racism with the blacks. So now you got to add in, like, the hippie?
Hey, they got to make it even for white people.
Okay.
You know how they, you know, they can never make one race always the bad guy. They always got to be like, hey, see, we're equal here.
See, the only really bad guy was, because, you know, every movie pretty much has, like, a bad guy, would be the school board saying that if Denzel Washington lost one game, he's fired.
What kind of shit was that? They bring this man from another state or whatever, he moves in or whatever, to give him this head job. Matter of fact, they pumped him up to be the head coach or whatever. They wanted him, and he was like, I don't want to, I'm assistant coach. Or anything. They pump him up to be head coach, and then they tell him when the first game starts, hey, by the way, if you lose, you're fired. They're like, the fuck?
and they already had Will Patton played Bill Yost, who was already the head coach of the school,
yeah.
And they pretty much pushed him to the side to bring in Boone. What the fuck is... They don't do that. They don't do that nowadays.
Well, see, the thing is... I don't see why they made him head coach, but I can see why they did at the same point. It's like, I noticed they made it so he could get fired, because they thought he wouldn't make it this far or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, well, he was just an assistant coach when he got there. Why y'all just didn't keep him as an assistant coach?
I know.
And if it was like, oh, we don't want any blacks teaching our boys, whatever, then why'd you offer him the goddamn job then?
I know. And then you go in the playoff game when they're going against, like, the,
I think it was Marshall?
I think it was Marshall, because it wasn't the Ed Hardy, because that was the finals. Yost was up for the Hall of Fame, and if he lost, he would have got the Hall of Fame, but he knew that the rig was on. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of stupid, where he just, you know, stops the game and just walks out of the field.
Titus!
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You call this game fair, or I'll go to the papers. I don't care if I go down with you, but before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
I just thought that was didn't seem right.
I'm sure that if that would have happened, they would have just fired him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing was too. Yost told him, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to the papers and to the referee. He was like, I'm gonna go to the papers and talk about this, whatever. And I'm like, I would assume in this town they wouldn't give a fuck if you went to the papers.
No, exactly. I mean, who are you really implying? The school board, or whoever votes for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Who are you really going after?
Well, because remember in the little town meeting for the white people that Yost had, that looked like the whole goddamn town was in there of, like, important people, right?
It did.
Yeah, like all the important people that was, like, running on the school board or the committee and everything like that, or hell yeah, for all I know, the mayor could have been in there as well, whatever. It's like, you go to the papers, you going to go to Louisiana and go to the papers? Or you going to go to Africa and go to the papers? Like, are they really going to give a shit? Because, like, this whole time since y'all came back from camp, they've been... Hey, no niggers allowed in here or whatever. They're still fighting in schools. You never see any teachers break them up or anything like that. So, I mean...
And you can't tell me them winning football games brought the school closer. You can't tell me. You can't tell me that. That's typical Disney right there.
That's typical any film. That's typical any fucking racist film. They always do shit like that where they try to make like something that will bring in whites and blacks together or something like that, which... Then it just comes out all okay because of what that one thing they did, whatever. Which in the movie, I could see why, because I think the movie does. I know that's like one of the biggest criticisms, but like a football didn't do this for them. And I don't think it's so much football. I think the thing is what it is there never was any segregated schools before, whatever. How the fuck can we get along with these monkeys, whatever? By the way, people, that's not me. That's the movie saying that. But but it's like, how the fuck can we get along with these monkeys here, whatever? And then to see these team. Come together, black and white or whatever, know each other, live together, know everything about one another, go to their towns and stuff like that, play ball with them, whatever, and win games,
mm-hmm.
It's got to be somewhat inspirational as far as, like, hey, I want to give it a try. Like Gary Bertier's girlfriend. Like, at first I was like, I don't really like her or whatever. She didn't. But at the end of the film, you know, she's like, oh, well, when she talks to Gary, she's like, I'll give it a chance. And I was like, I kind of respect that. I mean, she said, yeah, this is something I'm not used to. I don't know if I should like these people or not because my whole life we're supposed to hate blacks for all I know. But she's like, for you, Gary, I'll give it a chance. I'll look into it. And I was like, okay, I could somewhat admire
And then her, she only shakes Julius's hand after Bertier gets in that car accident.
Mm-hmm. Because Bertier told her to make a promise that she'd be at the game. And I want to say that was at the same time she said, I'll give it a chance, too, whatever. Or it could have been a scene earlier.
I think it was a scene earlier.
Yeah, it was a scene earlier. And then she shows up to the final game, whatever, and she goes and meets Gary's brother, Julius.
Brother from another mother?
I like that scene in the hospital. She's like, only family and kin can be in here, sup, boy. And she's like, what are you, blind? That's my brother.
Only kin's allowed in here.
Alice, are you blind? Don't you see the family resemblance? That's my brother.
Even Julius looked and was like, what?
Julius always, he always stood there with his mouth open like, huh?
Yeah, man, see, and he had great dialogue too, whatever, and his delivery on him was just, I was just looking, I was like, I mean, at one point I do admire the film that it got like some black, young black actors in there and white, some white actors we'd never even seen before in like bigger movies, whatever, and this coming out to be one of their, the biggest films that they did in a career, whatever, coming out. I do admire that and them being new actors and the movie still being decent in effect, but I was just like, you know, some of the delivery in here is just, it's like amateurish kind of.
It was. It didn't seem like a big budget movie with how the stars they had, but it, you know, like you said, it was young actors.
Mm-hmm. But I gave credit because, you know, I do like seeing new actors come in, younger actors. I mean, we've seen these, some of these people in older films, whatever, but once again, this is like, most of these people in this film, this is their biggest film, the breakout film that was like worldwide, globally known, mainly it's because Denzel Washington was in it, and because Disney had it, so there's already two marketers right there that proved it to be a big blockbuster hit or whatever, but, and you know, some of the actors in here, once again, they're people we don't really recognize that much, so their delivery isn't as great, but they do give good lines.
Exactly, and like, Bertier, I have not seen him since.
Oh, if you, I remember I looked up a picture of him last night. Man, he's got a beard in there. I was like, man, that dude looks old. He looks horrible. I was like, Jesus
Christ.
Is he
homeless?
Bertier, I heard he's done a couple of TV shows. I know he was in Rango from 2011, that Johnny Depp animated film. But I don't remember what character he was, but he was, that movie was good, so if that counts anything. I know he's on, SOA, Sons of Anarchy, which...
Maybe that's why he needs the beard.
And if you saw the photo of him now, then you'd believe he's on that show.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
You see a picture of him?
Yes, he looks homeless.
In the movie, he looks like a blue-collar, all-American kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
And this, not anymore. 13 years later, I don't think so.
And then Wood Harris, who played Julius, his brother is Steve Harris. Is it Steve Harris? Yeah, Steve Harris, who was in Minority Report.
Yeah.
He's one of the...
Julius, or Ed Harris, or whatever you want to call him, whatever, in the movie. He's been in some shit that we've seen, whatever. Last thing I remember him, he was in Dread last year.
Okay.
He was, seen that movie?
No, not yet.
Okay, he's, one of the black, villains, if you anything. He's one of the, what I have to say, black? He's one of the main villains for, Lena Headey.
Okay, he was also in Above the Rim.
Yeah.
That was his first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's one of those guys, he's like one of those actors you see all the time, like, I've seen him before, you just don't ever know his name.
Yeah, I thought, he looks more threatening.
He does. He does not look... This does not look like a great role for him.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great role for any young black actor trying to come up, whatever, because, like, he gets a lot of screen time.
Yeah, Denzel, and Pan got the most screen time.
Yeah, and most of the screen time with Julius is with Gary, which kind of was, like, the strong focal point of bringing the team together.
Yeah, because those two were the first two that actually bonded.
Yeah, besides, what's his name? The fat one.
Oh, Lassick?
Yeah, what's his real name, though? I forgot.
Ethan Suplee.
Man, he looked familiar like a motherfucker, and I was like, I can't remember that.
Look at the picture now, he's not fat no more.
What's his name again?
Ethan Suplee.
Ethan Suplee, I'm trying to look for it right. Holy shit.
He was in John...
Wow.
He was in John Q.
Damn, he's lost a lot of weight. Well, you know what, hey. But yeah, he come from I think he said he was from North Carolina, some shit like that. I forgot or whatever, but
Born in Manhattan.
I'm talking about the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a fuck where he's born in real life. I don't give a shit. The movie or whatever. But yeah, he was the one. He was the only white guy that when he came to camp, whatever, he was just friends automatically with the black people. And I actually liked the scene that he sat down at the table and Julius was like, what are you doing here? And he was just like, look, I don't have no color. He's like, I'm from North Carolina. He's like, you know, we don't have no discrimination between colors or anything like that going on. I was like, are you sure about that?
And the weird thing with him, though, the season's over. You got to think football starts in, like, September, okay? And he goes, he hugs Coach Boone, like, right before the last game. He goes, I'm eligible. I'm going to college. I'm like, it's, like, November. You still have, like, what, 5 months till graduation?
Yeah, because they had about, what, 13 games?
With playoffs, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's about 13 games. You imagine that's, like, what, every week? Maybe
two weeks
or whatever and shit. So, yeah, like you said, it's, like, well, you know what? I don't know how it started back then, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe,
oh, yeah, Ethan Suplee was in My Name is Earl, too.
Yeah.
He was the co-star of that.
But yeah, now Denzel now.
Oh.
Sells it every scene. I was just like, oh, this dude is amazing. I was like, that's someone you want to look up to in one of these films.
You know what my best scene with him? It wasn't, I'll say one of his tied. It's when he was had the players run, then he was talking about Gettysburg.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field. Fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
That's one of the best scenes for him delivering on it. That was pretty much the scene that brought the team together.
It was. Well, for not all of them, because you still had that Gary's one friend.
Yeah, they had that dick, whatever. He was the only one that still... He was, like, the only one still not believing in the shit, whatever, until they got rid of his ass, which, thank God, because that dude was a dick. Because he was just letting people get hurt on the team and shit. You let Rev get injured.
Yeah, I know, dick.
Yeah, bitch.
And to be honest, because I played high school football, no one would ever do that.
No.
I don't. Back in then, I don't think they would, too, because if you're playing football, you're pretty much dedicated. So I kind of think that was kind of maybe wrong. That I don't think that's true that happened.
Well, I don't know if it's so much wrong, because, you know, hey, racist, you know, you probably go to any length or whatever. I mean, you don't like a nigga, you know what I'm saying? You don't like a nigga. And at the same time, maybe he was in that town meeting with them, and maybe he knew about it. Boone got fired.
Well, I think some of the players was, because remember Allen's dad, Ryan Gosling's dad, was like, he always, like, always started yelling.
Well, him and Gary was in there, too, at the first one, so I'm assuming that Gary's friend was going still to them or whatever, because they never really show you any faces in there. You just see the back of their heads and shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that he was still in there, and they had to know about this plan, getting rid of Boone or whatever, which I don't understand, because Boone was bringing wins in.
They don't care. Obviously, they didn't care.
Exactly, but you know.
But obviously, whatever. They did lose because they didn't win the state. They didn't win the national title. They said they finished second. Obviously, I don't know how some, like, Ohio football is different. You know, they just have their state champ, their state playoffs, and I never heard of this national champion.
Well, you got to remember, this was in the 70s.
Yeah, so I don't know how it works. Obviously, they lost the game.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why I don't understand how it works.
Well, I don't know how their athletics team played back then or whatever, so I wasn't born in fucking late '60s, early '70s. So I don't.
You know, they should have done basketball and had black kids, and they're all winners because they're all black. You know.
I think they did that, and instead of Denzel, they got Samuel Jackson for it. But
no, I think you're also talking about. I think you're thinking of Glory Road.
Yeah, but yeah, that scene where he was talking about Gettysburg, I was like, wow, this is a great scene between Denzel because nobody else is talking.
And I also liked when they threw the brick in the window, and when he was talking to reporters, he's carrying the brick.
Yeah, I actually like that scene for the simple fact that Yost's daughter was there.
Yeah, and like Yost is telling him not to.
And he was telling him, he's like, now you understand what my girls go through every night.
Yeah, and he's pretty much telling Yost that, you know, he's not gonna stand up for any of this stuff, and that he's challenging anyone to come up to him.
Yeah, exactly. And Yost is being like, he's like, you shouldn't be telling me. He's like, well, they threw a brick. I didn't start anything. They threw a brick in my house. Or he's like, well, I got my little brother. He was just like, well, now you know how my little girls go through every night. And then, Yost was angry at first, but when he said that, Yost, like, paused in, like, a dramatic scene, like, oh, I didn't think about that, I guess.
But I did like the interaction between Washington and Patton.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
They were a good combination, because Patton does... He can play a really good character if given the right movie.
Yeah, I didn't like him in some... Well, I didn't like his delivery a lot. Once again, he's one of those actors in here. I didn't like his delivery. But I thought, once again, everybody's interaction with another character in here was pretty damn good, and their dialogue was always good. There's a scene where after they were doing the whole cheating thing with the referee and shit like that, when Patton finally called that shit off, whatever, and then Bill Yost was taking over what they should do, I like that scene where he's talking, remember that they played the Titan. I was like...
Okay, Petey. Don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me? Forget about him! Alan! You're in! Come on!
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure... They remember forever the night they played the Titans.
That got me amped for something. I was just like, yeah.
that's one of the Yost's best, because Yost wasn't the main character. Denzel is. We all know that. Yeah. Denzel's never going to play second fiddle to anybody now.
No, especially during this time, no.
No, that not with this type of story. It's always
back when Denzel was on his rise. Well, he was already on a rise, but this was back when he was doing a movie every goddamn year at the time or whatever and knocking them out, so no.
This was like, I think if you look back, I think this is like his first family movie in a long time.
Yeah, you call this a family movie?
It's a Disney movie.
Just because it's a Disney movie, that don't mean shit. Come on now, what the fuck?
I mean, look what he's done. Like before, he did He Got Game, which he got.
You really think a racist movie is a family movie? Hold on, I'm trying to get your thought logic thinking. Just because Disney name is attached to it, you think it's a family movie? Wow.
Why don't you think
people? That's how backwards they are in Ohio.
Why don't you think this is a family movie?
Well, how the hell would this be a family movie?
It comes with a happy story.
That's not a happy story, whatever the beginning. Every movie has a happy story in it, but the fucking movie doesn't start off with no happy story. White people, you racist son of a bitch, you.
But
oh my gosh. What the fuck did you sit up here and say it's a family movie?
I think it is.
Wow.
It brings the family closer together and kids can learn about racism.
Oh, fuck, it might even make some of them hate them down in the states you live in. All I know. Damn, black man took his job and shit like that, whatever, shit. Then they wonder why I'm talking about, oh, we don't do it. So, yeah, what the fuck, dude? Just because it's got Disney's name attached to it. That's some stereotypical shit right there. You gotta be ashamed of your fucking self.
Okay, do you think this is the risk, since you're saying it's not family, do you think this is one of the riskiest movies Disney's done at that during 2000?
Disney's done things like this, whatever. You speaking from someone who doesn't watch Disney films now.
What else have they done that's kind of tackled this subject?
Oh, they've done a lot. Mulan was one we just did. That was an animated one or whatever. The list goes on or whatever. There's always subtexts in Disney films or whatever. Someone like you may not pay attention to because, you know what, you just say, oh, it's Disney. They do this or whatever. They have a formula or whatever. Every goddamn studio has a formula.
They do. I agree.
That's some racist shit you just said right now. Son of a bitch, you. Carry on with the goddamn movie. Made me think a lot about you now.
Did I?
Yeah, you Mortal Instruments loving son of a bitch, you.
Shut up.
That'd be a fucking shame to yourself to call you a reviewer.
Did Did you like Ryan Gosling, his dad? He kept yelling at Yost when he got taken out, and then Faison got put into his position. And then Yost's little girl's like he's getting beat, and like he stole something.
Yeah, I was like, wow, she's been hanging around too many of these Negroes now. of course, none of the white people. I didn't like any in here. I mean,
not even Batir?
Who?
Gary?
No, at first, no, whatever, because he's at that town meeting talking about, look, I ain't going to play. I'm signing the petition and shit. Like, I'm like, just get your white ass out there and play and shit. Like, oh, you ain't got time for this shit or whatever. And but as far as his acting goes, no, I didn't like his acting or whatever. But once again, I liked his interaction with the characters or whatever. I mean, they gave him great dialogue.
Did you like any of the players?
I liked Rev.
I liked Rev too.
He didn't give him too many lines or whatever, and he was just humble. He was
after he got hurt, he pretty much was forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Because like once he gets injured, he's pretty much on the bench for the rest of the game. You don't really see him no more.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it to him, and then you don't see him until the ending play or whatever. So I like Rev. I'm trying to think of some of the white. The fat dude. I didn't mind him that much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind him so much. He come in. Ryan Gosling, he's a little weird. I don't know.
He was weird because he looked like he was like friends with Batir and his friend, and then he just kind of like somehow became friends with the blacks, and it never showed it.
Yo, he was like because if you recall, he was the first one that called Gary, and it was like they letting blacks in the schools and stuff like that, right? So you know, you think he's gonna be the hard ass of here, but I know where you see him in scenes where he's like. He felt like the loner kid that just tried to fit in with
him. I see that now.
Like, he just started dancing, clapping. And at times, I'm not going to lie, like, the whole thing they were making fun of Sunshine being gay, I thought Ryan Gosling was the gay one.
Yeah.
I'm not even cracking a joke. I'm being serious.
I can see that.
I don't know if they were just trying to say white people can't dance, but when he started doing that dance or whatever to that country music, if you remember when he was talking to Blue,
yeah,
I was like, I don't know, man. That's kind of... A little fruity, what you doing right there? I was like, oh no, Brian.
I didn't mind Blue.
Blue didn't really say anything except sing, so I didn't really think much.
Well, the thing I kind of hated, I really did. Like, you know, the team, you have your training camp, and they build that bond with each other. Mm-hmm. They play some games, and obviously, then the bond breaks. Then they have to do it all over again. I just thought it was recycled, and I thought it was kind of not needed.
There was a scene where, because this is the part where we're halfway through the film, and, like, the school, like, even though the team is getting along, the school is still fighting it, and then Gary and Julian feel like they always got to be the ones of the leaders for the whites or the blacks, and they got to split up and say, hey, man, I ain't like that no more. And there, it was after one of those scenes, whatever that happened, that Blue and the fat white guy, they call a meeting and, like, trying to tell the team about it or whatever, and Blue's dialogue and line delivery was fucking horrible. I was just like looking at that. I was like, ugh. Mm-hmm. I was like, you like giving a speech here, and it sounds like you just some slack dog. He's like, man, y'all need, we need to wise up. And I was just like, oh my god, dude, you need to fucking take a speech class or something. I was like, that's bad. I don't like this. Whatever. I was like, I'm glad Julian and Gary stepped in or whatever before they
won the speech. They had the wrong people lead that meeting.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I admire it because, you know, it's a younger actor, but then again, none of them really went on to go do anything.
No. I mean, it's just really weird that Gosling was the one that stood out of everybody.
Well, it's funny because he's the one that, because they say, like, once you leave Disney, it's pretty hard to break the Disney mold or whatever and get, like, serious films or anything like that or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's the one, like you said, he's the one that broke the mold. I'm like, really?
And I
think it goes to this right now. It's because he's pretty.
Because he's pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's because of Notebook.
No, it goes with white actors. If they're pretty and in shape, they'll make it anywhere. They'll get as many chances as they can, no matter how many times they
fail. Well, you got to admit, he has turned into a better actor.
Yeah, he's somewhat better. He does some shit. Gangster Squad was fucking horrible with his acting.
But he's gotten to a better act. He's got to, from compared to this, he got to a better actor.
He's got two good movies on him. That's about it.
Into the Pines.
Yep.
And
Drive.
Drive. What about I like Crazy Stupid Love. I liked him in that.
Yeah, he's all right. I thought Emma Stone was carrying his weight.
Okay. Well, and Steve Carell too. Yeah.
I didn't really care for Steve Carell. Carell's not funny anymore.
But the funny thing is that Kit Pardue, who played Sunshine, like right after he did this, he was the second lead to that Driven movie with Sylvester Stallone. And that's like you're pretty much thrusting someone into a name with a big Hollywood actor.
Yeah, because Stallone was huge at this time. Well, I mean, I would assume he still is, but not as big as he was back then. But yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like career suicide, where you're thrusting someone who's not been a lot of movies into something that like that.
Yeah, and he didn't really have much lines in this movie, to be honest. I mean,
his lone thing was when he, after Rev got hurt, they were playing that team with that defensive end that was just killing him. Mm-hmm. And he, like, kind of hurt him, and he just stared at him with, like, a stupid-looking grin.
Man, I kind of liked that, like, because it was funny, because, like, everybody was like, that boy gonna get killed out there, he's soft and everything like that, and he got on that field, man. And he's just like, I keep forgetting the fat guy guy's name. He's just like, let him through, and they was like, what? He's like, just let him through. And he flipped his ass, or I was like, damn.
And the opposing coach is like, personal foul, and he goes, on the quarterback.
And Boone and him is just like, got ourselves a football player right there.
I know. These are the kind of movies I like with Denzel. I mean, he can play the badass like he did in Training Day. And this
would you say, by the way, before you get on, would you say Hayden Panettiere is bigger than Ryan Gosling?
Career-wise?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Okay. No. I mean, he's, you know, like you said, he's done Drive. They got rave reviews. I think only God Forgives got rave reviews, too. But what has she really done besides Heroes and Scream 4?
Scream 4. She does a lot of TV shows. I know Heroes is popular. She's on that show.
And whatever, she's on that Nashville show.
Yeah. She's done, like, her Robot Chicken, which is popular as well, whatever. She's done, like, American Dad, shit like that. She's even been in video games, whatever. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, career-wise, is like, getting the work out there. She's, like, in every form of media.
It's because she's gorgeous now.
Yeah, well, the same thing goes for Ryan Gosling.
Okay, so it's funny that Denzel was already a big name, and obviously he's always going to improve that, but...
Hayden Panettiere, I say that because she's had, like, stuff with fucking Ryan Gosling. The two great movies he did are limited releases, and nobody's fucking seen them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, Ryan Gosling's more of a name, but as far as her face...
And this is, I think this was her first movie. No?
She was in A Bug's Life.
That's as a voice, though, that's different.
Once again, she was still in it, though, but then again, she's a voice actor, too. What's Ryan Gosling doing as voice acting with his weak-ass voice?
I think he did Robot Chicken, too.
Yeah. with her sexy little voice. Oh, my God, I love this woman.
You like Hayden?
She's gorgeous, man. Have you seen her?
Oh, obviously, yes, I have. I was a big fan of Heroes.
I'm not talking about the 10-year-old one now.
Shut up. I just didn't like her character.
Oh, she's in Malcolm in the Middle as well. Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's cool. But man, her character is, like you said, her character is kind of annoying. Like, it was cool that she knew all this football, and it's cool you've seen a girl like this, but... Yeah. You know,
she just felt like another hick in the town, though, at times.
Yeah, and she was racist, too.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, especially when she first meets Denzel or whatever, she's like, took her job.
You took my job.
Hey, took your job. So I was just like, Jesus Christ, what a bitch. Ain't nothing worse than a racist in training.
I know, she was growing up racist, and then, the funny thing was, when they did the, after Bertier died, how did he die?
He died in a car accident.
He died, so...
Which is funny, because he got injured in a car, and then he died.
And
he stayed away from cars.
Yeah, maybe, because he was paraplegic, and I guess Yost taught him to do, like, the Special Olympics.
He trained him in the Olympics, whatever, and he won a medal in it.
Yeah, and then they do the funeral, and then the girl they had as the older Emma, or not Emma, Cheryl, looked nothing like Hayden Panettiere now.
Yeah, that's why all you see is her head, then turning around. You know, it was funny because he died 10 years after they won the championship or whatever it was, whatever. 10 years passed, whatever, and you see everybody at the funeral, right? And I was like, damn, Denzel looked younger than all of them.
He did. Because look at...
Julius had that mustache on him. I was like, wow, he looks old.
And look at Faison. Donald, he looked old, too.
He looked pretty old, too, in there. When I was looking at everybody, I was like, man, Denzel looks young as shit.
And did all the black players have to grow mustaches?
I know, I was just like, so 10 years pass, and the most they could do is grow a mustache? Okay, alright.
And it's funny, I didn't see his friend either. Or his old girlfriend, Emma, who's played by Kate Bosworth.
I didn't recognize her. The mother, she still looked the same. Because you see Julius, because you don't see nobody in the crowd. You just see the main characters who you need to see, which is like, you know, Rev, Faison, Julius, Denzel, and Bill, Ghost or whatever. And you see Julian, he's about to start singing, Na-Na-Na-Na, hey, good day. And you see him holding the mother's hand of Gary Ritter, and I was like, wow, she still looks the same. I was like, they should have gave her a gray wig or something like that or whatever. I guess they probably thought they was like, oh, it's just a quick scene. Nobody gonna give a fuck. But I was like,
we give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, give Toles a fuck or whatever, because, you know. But, I mean, much as the line delivery isn't good, I mean, I would like to see the movie without Denzel. I wonder how it would hold up for me.
You mean saw another black actor play his part?
Just Denzel in general, not him being there.
Oh, okay. That's kind of interesting because he kind of brought Herman Boone alive.
Yeah, because he was in the movie. Like you said, he's the main character in the movie because he's in the movie every fucking scene of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Every scene, he's in every shot or whatever. So, I mean, this is his movie or whatever. But I loved his train. I'm sorry, him training them or whatever. And that line he gives Jose, he's like, don't you think you're pushing these boys a little too hard? And he was like, look here, I'm a winner. We don't lose. All I do is know how to win or whatever. And, like, this whole movie of the training camp, Jose is just like, he's like, coach, we're not in the military or anything like that. And I love the smile that Denzel just keeps giving him and doesn't say anything. He just smiles and looks at him and, like.
And blows the whistle.
Yeah. Because well, that's before they go to Gettysburg. Like that's he woke him up like at 3 a.m. in the morning and shit, and then that's when Yost came out. He's like Herman, we not in the military, and he just looks at him and was like, you guys follow me and the other coaches now, let's go. And I was just like he just ignores everybody.
Did you know who they had, the assistant coach was, the black coach? You know who that was?
I did know his name. I can't remember his name. I know it was I know his last name is Williams or some shit like that. I forgot. God damn.
He was in Baywatch.
Baywatch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was the cop in Baywatch.
The cop in Baywatch, whatever. And he went on to do such greater things afterwards. Like, nothing. He's in that show, what's that name of that show that Billy's brother's in? Unnecessary Roughness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's on that show.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, cool, cool, cool.
So, I don't know what else he's done, actually, to be honest.
Baywatch Nights, I don't know.
Baywatch Nights, yeah, whatever. Oh, he was in what's the fuck is that name? He's also a voice act, he was in, MacGruber. Yeah, there you go.
MacGruber?
MacGruber! Yeah, that movie.
Oh, I kind of want to forget about that movie.
I think everybody want to forget about Saturday Night Live movies, but, everything with Denzel in it was just... This is amazing. I love the scene before they get on the bus where he's talking to Gary and his boy. He was like, ladies and gentlemen, we got I think he said Jerry Lewis and
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin or whatever. And then he talks to Jerry. He was just like, now, where's your mother at? That's her right there. I want you to wave at her, tell her goodbye or whatever. Because on that bus, on this camp, whatever, for the next 2 weeks, who's your daddy?
You want any of us to play for you? You reserve half the open positions for Hammond players. Half the offense, half the special teams. We don't need any of your people on defense. We're already set.
Uh-huh. Don't need none of my people.
Mm-hmm.
What you say name was, Jerry?
Gary.
No, you must have said Jerry, like Lewis, which would make you Dean Martin, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, got an announcement to make. We got Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin going to camp with us here this year. Jerry tells the jokes, Dean sings the songs, and gets the girl. Let's give him a round of applause.
Where's your folks, Gary? Parents, are they here? Where are they?
That's my mother.
That's your mama?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice, I want you. Take a good look at her. Because once you get on that bus, you ain't got no mama no more. You got your brothers on the team. And you got your daddy. Now, you know who your daddy is, don't you? Gary, if you want to play on this football team, you answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy? Who's your daddy, Gary? Who's your daddy? You. Uh-huh. And whose team is this? Is this your team? Or is this your daddy's team?
Yours.
Mm-hmm. Get on the bus. Put your jacket on first. And get on the bus. Dean? Fix that tie, son.
And you know what's funny, though? It made him, like, he did not, it proved right there, he did not give a fuck about the racism.
No, and that's what's so great about it, too. Like, that's what makes him such a strong character, too, to feel whatever. It's just like, because, like, Yosin was telling him, you need to tone it down. Don't you see what's going on here? And he's looking at that like, black, white, it don't make no damn difference to me or whatever. We're here to play a game of football, and I'm a winner, and we need to win or whatever. I don't give a damn. And I like what he did, too, on that whole bus thing where there was, like, blacks and whites, and he told them, all right, everybody get the hell up off here.
All right, listen up. I want everybody off the bus. Let's go. Follow me, everybody. Let's go right now. All right, everybody off the bus. Listen up. I don't care if you're black, green, blue, white, or orange. I want all of my defensive players on this side, all players going out for offense over here, right now. Let's move. You and you, offensive bus, sit together. You and you, defensive bus, sit together. Get comfortable, too, because the person that I have you sitting next to is the same one that you'll be rooming with for the duration of this camp.
You're going to be switching. And sharing seats, you're going to get to know this person. Black, white, I don't give a damn. You're going to be knowing them. And Denzel, I don't give a damn what it is. It could be a sports movie, an action movie. When that man is talking and that camera zooms on him, giving him a speech, your eyes are following and you listening every word.
Exactly. And you pretty much hung on everything he said.
Yeah. Because that scene where he was telling them about the bus or whatever, I was just watching him. The camera zooms in on his face and it's spinning around or whatever. And I was just watching him. I was like, everything he says makes sense.
I mean, that just proves your point big time that if Denzel was in this movie, it probably would not have been good.
No.
I mean, you're absolutely right.
Well, because, I mean, he's in the movie, like, every fucking scene.
I want to say, like, 90%, 95% of the movie.
Yeah, 95%. And that's not to say that, like, you know, because everyone here is giving good dialogue, but at the same time, I don't really like any of the actors or their line delivery to them. I mean, some of them are giving good speeches, too. It's just the way they delivered it just sounded kind of hokey and cheesy.
And forced.
Yeah, and forced in a way. Like, that speech Yost gave or whatever, by the way, remember the time? I was liking that speech, but he kept doing this thing with his mouth. Like, he was chewing on some fucking tobacco or something like that, and like, he started kicking in some kind of an accent a little bit, and I was just like, man, there's no need to do all that. just get the speech. But you make sure that they remember the night they played the Titans. I was like, oh.
That was his best scene.
Yeah, because most of the movie, he's just a little bitch. Let's go ahead and say it.
Yeah, he is. He's Herman Boone's bitch.
Yeah, everybody's Denzel's bitch though in the world or whatever. Denzel should be president for goddamn sake.
Exactly.
Wrong shit ever, but you'd be like, hey, president said it, you gotta do it then, whatever. But Bill Yost, all he does is just like, I'm gonna whisper in the background what's wrong, whatever, to Herman Boone. I'm just gonna tell him, hey, you shouldn't do that. Oh, that's wrong, whatever. This is the first scene where he finally grew a set.
Mm-hmm.
And took over or whatever. It's like, hey, man. You know, you had a chance, because at the beginning of the film, he had a chance to go to another school, go coach there, head coach or whatever, and he declined it because he wanted to, because most of the white students were talking about, we're going to petition, we're not going to play or whatever, and he was telling them I was wrong, whatever, and shit like that, I'm going to stay assistant coach or whatever, and plus the Hall of Fame thing coming up or whatever. And the whole time, I was just like, why don't you step up and stop being such a little pansy ass, whatever. I mean, you're on this team. Don't you want to win right now? Don't you fucking want to win?
Yeah,
Never felt like he was racist.
No, I mean, that's a great point. He never said anything about racism. He didn't like what happened to his job. Mm. That's the only thing, and that's the weird part, is that he's the main white character.
Yeah.
During this time, it's like, he pretty much played the fence.
Yeah.
And that's something funny. I wasn't expecting out of the main white character.
Yeah, and it's funny because they gave him and Denzel the amount of time together as far as them being like Denzel, if we want to say he's 95%, I'd say Yost was in here for like 80-85% of the movie, uh-huh. Whatever. And you never feel his presence is in the film because he's always in the background just whispering some shit about like what's wrong, whatever. And it's like he's never as loud as Denzel. He's not taking command of the film like he should be.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even when he's talking to his assistant coach, the one that quit.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, the coach was obviously racist, but, you know, he just kind of, he never stood up for him. He never, that's, I just thought he was a weird character.
Yeah, and that's funny because the black people got one. Did you feel, Z, like you got a good character in here?
Denzel. Oh, good white character?
Yeah.
I think the best white character was probably the fat guy.
Yeah, I'd say, because he was more spoken than Yost was, to be honest.
Yeah, he was.
It was funny, but at the end of the film, even when Yost finally was like, Herman, I need your help. He's out there kicking my ass. I was just like, it took you 12 games to figure that out? It's like, God damn, man. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, you, I mean, tell me, like, I can understand him having pride, but at the same time, I never really felt like his pride was that big of a deal as far as race going on or asking for help or anything like that, whatever.
Now that you were saying this about Yost, the only thing he actually did, remember when Boone pulled Petey out because he fumbled? And he started yelling at him. He goes, you're not playing anymore. And then Yost put Petey in. Mm-hmm. And then him and Denzel, you know, have that conversation. He goes, I don't see you doing that to Batir or any of the other white guys.
And that's another scene, too, where Denzel gets in his face and, like, Yost is, every time he gets in Denzel's face, it's like Yost is about to tell him something like that's supposed to be like positive, uplifting, or anything. And every time he does that, Denzel counters him, and then he just leaves Yost just standing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shit. I'm just like, Yost, say something, man.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Yost is a complete bitch.
And the thing about that, this is why I didn't really like, what was it, Petey's character? Yost was telling them something when they were doing it, and he just walks away. And I was looking at that like, Yost wasn't even yelling at him or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was just telling him, he's like, Petey, I just want you to stick him. He's like, I can't stick with this guy, man. He's like, you just worry about sticking him or. And then Petey just walked away. I was just like, dude, this almost damn near to get you to the championship game, and you walk away. I was like, who the fuck does that, honestly? Like, I can understand if it was Boone doing it, because the way Boone was doing it, he was on your ass about it, whatever. Like, if Boone was doing it, whatever, then maybe you get a little angry or whatever. But with the way Yost did it, I was just like, he didn't even yell at him. He just told him what to do, to stick that guy. Who cares if he can't? Because, it was when the coach, the referee was cheating with him.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, every time I hit that movie, they always call a penalty on me or whatever. He was just like, don't worry about that no more. You just stick him, whatever. And then he just walked away, and I was like.
Yeah, because he told him to tell Ryan Gosling's character, Alan, that if he want that Alan comes better at him, Alan couldn't keep up with him. He goes, Petey's better. He goes,
I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about before this. Before that game.
Yeah, and that. I mean, no one showed Yost respect like they showed Boone.
Yeah, because the game you're talking about, what happened? That's when they were in the championship, and Petey came back, and I was just like, I wouldn't let his ass play neither, or whatever. What the fuck? Because Petey comes back, and his excuses. I want to play for you. I want to play for the championship. I'm like, well, motherfucker, you should have helped this guy here instead of walking away then.
Yeah, that's the way he says you play with me next year as a senior.
Yeah, exactly. And he got his spot back because Ryan Gosling's character couldn't keep up with, Alan couldn't keep up with the defensive linebacker. So he
and that just proves that white people can't play football.
Not according to Alan's dad or whatever, because when he first took Alan out or whatever, his dad went to his office and telling him all kinds of shit.
He's like my son wasn't all American. That was against whites, not blacks.
But it was funny because he looked at Denzel and he's like, this is all your damn fault, you. And then Yost was like, hey. He started shaking his head. Don't do that.
It was my decision, not his.
And what about that coach that called him a monkey?
And then Boone gives him a banana.
Because, Boone, once again, racism doesn't affect Denzel. Like, he notices it, but he tries to uplift over it or whatever. He tries to ignore it and all his stupidity or whatever. And because, you know, there's scenes where, Gilles is constantly talking about racism. He's like, black, white doesn't make no difference to me. Doesn't make a difference, whatever. But he was like, damn sure, like he told him the scene, he's like, I don't see you coming down on none of the white dudes, whatever. He's like, I'm trying to teach these black kids out here that it ain't going to be easy when we get off camp now. It's going to be a pain in the ass for you, whatever. And then that scene where he was just, Even though this dude called him a monkey on fucking national TV, whatever, he's gonna shake that dude's hand and tell him a good game. Just like he was complimenting all of his players and shit, telling him good passes and stuff like that. Whatever. He's gonna shake that guy. That guy looked at him and was like, shaking on monkey's hand or whatever. And then fucking, he threw that banana at him.
That actually made Denzel is with you. We pretty much agreed that Denzel is the only one that's actually likable. Mm-hmm. And
you want to like other people in this movie too,
but you can't. It's just because they're not. You're supposed to like Bashir and Julius due to the fact that they're two main players. But
young ones, too.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, Julius tries. That's the good thing about Julius. He tries to be Bashir's friend without, you know, he tries. And Bashir just, like, blows him off. And it's just like, and then they're friend. They're like brothers. That seemed a lot really forced.
And, they had some good scenes, too, with Julius and Jerry. Like, the scene where Gary was trying to tell him about, like, man, you don't listen to nobody or whatever. And then this was kind of like a Denzel Washington and Yost moment, too, right here. It's like, he was like, man, you don't listen to Boone. You don't listen to Doc. You don't listen to none of them. Like, you're too hard-headed. And then Julius was just like, well, then why should I put myself out there for your people when your people aren't even blocking for Rev? Huh? He was like, I'm not going to work myself up for this team or whatever. And when you're just sitting there looking and letting my people get hurt, whatever. So he's like, I'm going to look out for me or whatever. And he kind of left him like Denzel, he's Yost or whatever. He just sits there and stands like, oh, shit.
So are you pretty much saying that Bashir was Julius's bitch too?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least in that scene. I don't know about for the whole movie. Because the rest of the movie, they did seem naturally like they were friends or whatever. But, like, for the beginning of the movie, before they became those friends, whatever, it did feel like that.
Like, when Bashir wanted to go play basketball with Julius, he's like, I'm going to the docks. I'm like, the bird? I'm going to the bird.
Bird,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck's the bird?
Bird, it's a nickname. Goddamn. Give me your black card.
I don't have a black card. You took that away from me a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. You've been to the bird?
And the mom's like, no, you're going to church with me.
That shit was funny because, like, she just walked in that room. She looked concerned. She looked scared.
And the son's in the, Bertier's in the hospital after his accident on the day of the final game. Why would the mom go to the game and not to the hospital? Do you agree with me?
You know, it's funny because she never was at the hospital except for the first time when Julius goes there and is crying.
I know. And she goes,
because you see the next, like, one of the next scenes, I think, at the hospital is when Gary brings up the Olympics and shit. I don't remember seeing the mom there.
No, because all the players were there.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, yeah, you're right. I didn't see the mom. Like, mom's like, yeah.
She shows up to the game instead. I was like.
And everyone's giving her a standing ovation, and she chooses to sit next to Boone's wife.
Which I didn't understand of her whole thing going to the game. I was just like. Like, with the girlfriend, I can understand, because Gary asked her or whatever and stuff like that. But I was like, him and the mom never really had any interactions as far as that game. So.
They didn't. And the thing is that when – the funny scene is when Bertier's watching the game and he's screaming and the nurse comes in. What is it, Gary? Get out of here.
Do not come in here. No, but I there's so much going on in the movie that I feel like there could have been a relationship bigger between the mother, Julius, and Gary.
Because, yeah, even the coach, besides him going to the hospital, yeah, I don't think there's any, between Brune and Gary's mom, there's no interaction at all. And you don't see any of the black parents at all. You don't see any of the black parents.
You see Julius's father, and that's about it.
What, at the beginning when they're going on the bus?
Yeah, that's about it. I don't remember seeing anybody else. Well, you know, they show them, but, you know, like, they're like quick scene. They're like quick jump shot scene. They're not important as, like, Gary's mom in the film.
And then Ryan Gosling's dad, who just says stuff to say shit, then gets pretty much beat down.
Was he, like, halfway through the movie, he was gone after that, when the daughter, Cheryl told him, like, getting beaten like he stole something, right? That was, after that, you didn't see him no more, right?
You're right, yeah. I think maybe so, just, like, a quick shot, that's it, but.
Probably left, he's like, I'm moving to fucking Alabama. Taking my boy with me or whatever, getting out of there or whatever, but, no, I feel like there's a lot going on in this movie or whatever that they wanted to cover, and then they probably tried to cover whatever. Denzel steals every goddamn scene away from everybody. That's how good of an actor he is. He's a hard man to work with at the same time, too, because everybody here, I feel like they were given great speeches to give. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in here had a lot of screen time that most movies would not give these actors or whatever, especially in their line delivery. And it's just stolen away from them, because whenever Denzel speaks, you just, like, fuck everybody else.
Exactly. It's pretty much it's the Denzel movie or nothing.
Yeah, so
I mean, we both can agree on that.
I love Denzel, I'm sorry.
Denzel is like, I really never seen, I don't think I've seen a bad movie he was in.
Even if he is in a bad movie, he's the best thing in it.
He is, and this is that bad. I'm not saying it's a bad movie, it's just that, like you said, they had, this was a little under 2 hours, which this...
I think it was like an hour and 52 minutes, right?
Yeah, 113 minutes. But this is the type of movie that could have kind of expanded to 3 hours and still maybe been enjoyable, but they kind of look like they crammed so much in there in such a short time.
I don't know about you, but when I was in middle school or whatever, I want to say 7th grade, my fucking English teacher played the fuck out of this movie. That's all we used to watch.
Yeah, when I was, you know, filming my movie yesterday, and I was like, oh, we're doing Remember the Titans, and four people said, I'm sick of watching that movie. I'm like, what? Like, it's because it's always on TV.
Oh, really? Because I remember back then, it used to be on TV a lot, and I remember when I found out this was winning, I started searching channels and shit, and I was like, you know what, that's one movie I don't see come on TV as much no more, because that used to be on, like, TV a lot. Every goddamn, like, channel 5, 7, 9, 11, that shit used
to be on TV. Yeah, it was always on, it was on, like, on Disney Channel, it was on USA.
Yeah, it was ABC.
ABC.
ABC especially used to play the shit out of it or whatever. Sunday nights, too? Play the fuck out of it or whatever. But I don't know, a couple of years they haven't started playing it as much as they used to. I guess something else replaced it. But I honestly, even with the complaints I have, it doesn't take me out of the movie. It doesn't make the movie bad for me or anything. I still enjoy it. I think it's more of a disappointing of, oh, they could have did this and that or whatever, more than it is like, that was just god awful to the point I couldn't stand the movie anymore.
Yeah, so what's your rating for Remember the Titans?
Actually, I remember growing up, this was one of my favorites, actually. When I was a child, man, sports movies were, for some reason, those were just popular back then.
Yeah, you're totally right, because in the early 2000s and late 90s, it was like, there's a lot of sports movies coming out.
Yeah, there was a lot. Disney did a lot, too, that I loved or whatever. They got, like, the Sandlot, but, like, they did something like
Mighty Ducks.
You got the Sandlot, a lot of them with baseball movies, too.
Rookie
Sandlot,
of the Year, Little Big League, yeah.
Rookie of the Year. What was that movie? There was another fucking movie. I forgot the name of it now.
What sport?
It was baseball.
Hardball?
Hardball, of course, yeah. Even the remake, too, because I think the remake came out in 99.
The remake of Bad News Bears.
Yeah, I mean, baseball had a lot of fucking movies.
Football movies, you had, like, what, Little Giants?
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield, too, for baseball.
Angels in the Outfield, yeah.
That was a Disney movie.
The Sandlot, I wore the shit out of that movie.
That's a great movie. Little Big League's a good movie.
Angels in the Outfield and Sandlot and Rookie of the Year. I wore those three baseball movies out like a motherfucker when I was growing up. And then when Remember the Titans came up, I was like, I wore the shit out of this movie, too. But I give it a low C.
A low C, yeah.
Yeah, it's like up there in my top
100.
Yeah, probably top 5 favorite sport movies. I could throw it in.
Okay. This is one of my favorite sports movies. But
you said it is?
It's one of them. I grew up watching The Mighty Ducks, and that's still that in Sandlot.
Oh, how could I forget about that, too? Mighty Ducks? I think Mighty Ducks was the one that started that shit.
They were the first kids movie. Well, Bad News Bears was the first kids movie. That wasn't really a kids movie.
Well, Trust Mighty Ducks, I mean, as far as popularity.
Yeah, you're right.
That one was more mainstream, if anything. Then Sandlot felt like more like it had like a cult following kind of.
Oh, Sandlot still has a cult following.
Yeah, I know. People still quote that fucking movie.
Gotta
watch that movie.
But going, you know, watching it and then listening to you say stuff about what if Denzel was not in this movie, it really makes you think how good of an actor he is.
Yeah, because he commands screen time. That's what I love about him. That's why I like Two Guns so much, too, is any Denzel movie these years or now, whatever, because when he always teams up with somebody and you feel like Denzel's taking him under his wing and is, like, going to coach him around, teach him, whatever. And with Two Guns, I felt like the difference between that and that movie he did, Safe House with Ryan Reynolds or whatever, I felt like Denzel was just, like, Ryan Reynolds is giving time to talk and shit, but Denzel is just, like, overpowering this guy whenever they have a dialogue. And I was just like, Ryan Reynolds don't even deserve to be on the same screen with him. But when I saw Two Guns, I was like, Mark Wahlberg is not only keeping on the same page with Denzel, but there's some times where he's almost advancing over him as far as comedic lines and stuff like that. I was like, they're on par with each other, and that is fucking amazing.
Yeah, but Denzel's the type of actor that he doesn't need a co-star, but he does shine. He works great with a co-star, but depending on the co-star. But
yeah, exactly.
He didn't have that here. Because, like, we both said that Yost is pretty much just there.
Yeah, Yost is a bitch. He's not a guy that, like, non-racist white people could look up to, if anything.
That's why I'm going to give it a high medium. High medium bag of popcorn.
Oh, that's fucked up. He's not a guy white people could look up to.
That's a good one. But
hey, who was your person you looked up to as being white in his
film? Growing up? Oh, I don't even know. Oh, in this film? Fat guy, because he lost a lot of weight.
It had to be the fat dude or whatever, because like, he comes in with a positive attitude.
Yeah, he was the only one that didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He just wanted to play football.
Yeah, matter of fact, he said that. He was like, shit, I figured if I got to come to school, which I don't like, I might as well play football and crack some heads in it. I was like, oh, well, that's a great way of thinking.
Yeah, but I think a high-medium bag is probably, because it's just the point of if Denzel was in this movie probably would have sucked.
Or even if someone would have been taking his spot.
Exactly. This could have been, if it wasn't Denzel, this could have been like a small bag.
Like, because I think at the time, if it would have been Denzel, it probably would have been Cuba Gooding Jr.
You're right.
And I don't think Cuba Gooding Jr. could deliver those lines. As powerful as Denzel delivered them.
But okay, look at Denzel, and he's intimidating. Cuba Gooding Jr. can't do that.
No, he can't. I don't think he can ever. I mean, Denzel, when he talks to you, man, he's not only commanding. It seems like he's talking, but he's yelling at the same time. But it's motivating at the same time too. Like, there's just something about him, man. That guy is just so charismatic and charming. And the day he dies, man, that's gonna be a sad day in Hollywood.
Yeah, and he's like 50-ish, isn't he?
He might be. I think he's older than 50 now. Whatever. I remember looking it up. I was like, damn, that dude's like 50. He's 50 something.
He is 58. Jesus, and he still looks good.
And it's funny because we have so many great actors from back then that we see now that are still doing movies. I mean, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. I even throw Jack Nicholson's name in there, or whatever. Great actors at the time, or whatever. The older they got, it just seemed like they didn't give a shit anymore.
No, that's what. If you notice that Denzel's not doing, look what he's done lately. He's not doing like he's not going for the movies with an Oscar. No, except Flight. I mean, except Flight.
Every now and then he'll have that Oscar award winning room, whatever. But you know, any fucking Denzel movie, you could be like, he gave a great performance and he deserved an Oscar for it, whatever. But he doesn't do too many Oscar movies or whatever. But the movies he does do, like, wow, that dude still at this age still can knock it off. Which is, he was great when he first started. He still is great right now.
That's the amazing thing. It's because just looking at movies he's done like since 2000, it's like. He's done, like, for the, you know, Oscar movies, like Antoine Fisher. That was 90s. I'm talking 2000s. American Gangster, Great Debaters, and Flight. That's it. But he also did fun movies like John Q, Training Day, Taking Pelham 1-2-3, Unstoppable, Two Guns. You know, it's just that he doesn't care anymore. He's got his Oscar. So that's the cool thing about him is that he's just doing it for fun, and he has fun characters.
He makes them believable too.
Yeah, and he's got a new movie coming out. I think is it this year?
I think
Equalizer.
I can't remember actually. You know what? It is next year. Yeah, with Chloe Grace Moretz. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that shit.
And did you see the director? A director I like.
Fucking awesome or whatever. Denzel though, man, he's like, it doesn't matter what role you give him, man. Wherever you just tell him to be a character, he'll pull that shit off. He's still charismatic and smooth.
Yeah, and he's just a fun character. He's like one of my favorite actors.
He's one of the best actors we have today.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. If when he does pass, it's gonna be like a horrible day in Hollywood.
Yeah, and I say that for the simple fact that like there's a lot of movies out there that are horrible. Some people say, oh, but you can still have fun with them. I'm like, I can't because of the character or whatever. Denzel is one of those actors that does shitty movies and makes that character fun for me and makes it dumb fun for me or whatever. Like Two Guns, I don't look out the plot. It's generic. It's kind of bad in some platform or whatever. But the characters in that movie sell that motherfucker. And that's part of my fun, whatever. If the characters are having a good time and make it believable for me, then I can go along with a lot of stupid shit.
Okay. Since you're you obviously are a big Denzel fan.
Love Denzel.
What's the worst movie you've seen him do? Is it probably Safe House?
Like movie or just his performance?
Either or.
Either or. It might be Safe House. I didn't really care for anything in that movie except for Denzel.
Nick, I'm with you because I actually liked his character. I mean, Ryan Reynolds was just there. That's all he was, just there.
Yeah.
I think he was the first free actor they could have got. That's how I think about that.
It was like after Green Lantern, yeah, you might as well take whatever the fuck you can get or whatever.
I think the only movie I hated him was The Siege back in '98. With Bruce Willis. I didn't really like that movie.
I remember that. I might even say that train movie he did, Unstoppable.
You didn't like that movie?
I didn't like the movie. I liked him in it.
But I liked him in it.
I like him in every goddamn thing. So that's a hard question for me.
Yeah, I mean, he always makes money. That's the great thing about it. I don't think he's ever had a bomb of a movie.
I don't think he's ever gave a bad performance in it. I love his interviews too, man. He's always awesome in these interviews.
He's so positive.
Yeah.
I mean, the only time he's been a bad guy, I think, was Training Day. Was he a bad guy in Safe House?
He always feels like the bad guy in these movies, though. It's like he always feels like the bad guy that you love, though. It's like I don't know whether to take that guy as I should be rude for him or something. Because, like, in Flight, which is why I say it was bullshit that Daniel Day-Lewis won that, because Denzel pulled off a character that's kind of hard to do. Like, he does a character that you... that any other character, you'd be like, man, they need to throw his ass in jail, lock him away. But he plays it so goddamn charismatic that you just like, man, I want this guy to get his life together. I want him to do right. I was like, I like this guy a lot. And then when he turns himself in, you kind of like, oh, man, don't do that or whatever. It's like, oh, you still could change. You're still a good guy. I was like, that's a hard character to pull off, that you such a fuck up that you still lovable, though. I was like,
on his Wikipedia page, he actually has, like, on his film list, they have a list of Rotten Tomatoes, and he has one movie that's got a zero.
Oh, which one was that?
It's called Heart Condition.
Back in
1990, he got a zero. But the lowest one since, like, you know, recently was John Q with a 23%.
Yeah, I remember.
Then Man on Fire got a low one, too, and I don't understand that. I like that movie.
Yeah, Man on Fire is a good movie. What the fuck?
I know, Man on Fire, he was badass in that movie.
Mo Better Blues, too. Don't forget that.
Mo Better Blues. That got a 73%.
Yeah, exactly. Mo Better Blues. Mo Better Blues. But Denzel wasn't good. It's going to be a sad day when that motherfucker dies. Whatever. I'll be crying my ass. I don't give a shit when actors die. But when he dies, I'm like, our only black actor. Now we got to settle for Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
Ah! You know what's the same? You know, there is no actor, black actor right now that can take over Denzel. What he does.
I think I said in our best of or whatever, Michael B. Jordan, if he can just continue doing what he's doing.
And pick the right movies.
And pick the right movies. And then, like, even, not even so much pick the right movie, but if he just, because if he can do a Denzel where even if he's in bad movies, but he still delivers being awesome in it. I think he has that charm and charisma to do something with it or whatever. I'm still hoping that out because he's still young or whatever, and we'd like to see him in more movies. But I feel like he's the closest one we got from all the ones I've seen.
But if you think about it, though, Denzel doesn't really pick bad movies.
No.
I mean, even though we both agree that Safe House wasn't that good, what the premise is a good movie, but
he
it's just because of Ryan Reynolds.
Film sometimes, but he's still great in them.
Yeah. I think the worst movie that he's probably done, like, this year, it might be Out of Time.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, he picks good movies, and if he even picked a bad movie, you know, he makes the character. Like Training Day. No one probably thought that movie, when they were making it, that he was going to win an award. Mm-hmm. And he earned that award. Trust, he earned that award.
damn, just talking about him dying now, whatever. Just, if he does die and shit, you know, I always relied on Denzel to bring the black actors back up whenever they delivered us a fucking Eddie Murphy movie or something like that. Like, don't worry, Denzel will redeem us. If he dies, who's going to redeem us now?
No one.
That's gonna be sad. It's like, you ain't getting comments though.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I'm kind of scared about the comments because I read some of them.
Oh my god, that's gonna be. Did you?
A little bit.
Oh, okay, that should be interesting then. Whatever, scared or you scared? You scared, little boy? That's what they were saying in Spring Breakers. That shit.
Spring Break.
Spring Break. I fucking hate. You scared? Scared? They said that five fucking times because they kept repeating it over. And I was like, oh my god. Movie's a fucking repeat of its own self or whatever, but
are we gonna go back to the comments from the ones we did when we were film recording last week?
Yes, we were. And the first one comes from here is excuse me, hold on, I'm gonna take a bite out of this real quick.
Are you still eating that salmon?
No, I saw something else right here.
Oh, I was gonna say, Jesus Christ.
I did make a lot, I don't know why, but it was asparagus, but anyway.
Whoa, you're gonna be peeing good.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, asparagus is awesome, whatever. I'll be pissing that white stuff out, ladies. Come find me. Give me some of that pee-pee.
Oh, my God.
This is a remix edition, and this is a song about pissing.
Are you okay? Are you R. Kelly?
Yes, I am, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got the Piss on You remix right here, baby. I'll send it to you. Carmen.
Carmen. Is that one of your friends from Puerto Rico?
Oh, man, I hope so. That's a fine-ass name. I actually like that name. Where is Carmen Sandiego? Carmen Sandiego.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that show on PBS back in the day?
The animated one?
The game show?
Yeah.
I loved watching that show.
I haven't seen that show in years. I wouldn't know what it looked like today. I'm almost scared to watch it because I'd sing that song almost every week. Like, I don't know. That show might be bad, and if all I know, every day after school, you used to come on and watch that. But she says, Z, I heard you on EO Podcast before talking about Resident Evil. Why aren't you on the show anymore? You want to answer that before I go on, or should I?
Because I was too busy with this show.
Oh. You can go ahead and tell us. You got fired or something?
I didn't. Well, they were changing the format. They weren't going to have everyone at the same time, and they were just going to pick people for each series. And when I heard that, I'm like, well, that's stupid. Because what if they pick me for? I'm like, what if they pick me for a series that I can't do it? You know.
So do they? Which I'm assuming this is Sock and Husky. They're the ones that pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do they pick, like, because I thought that, if you did it, you did this series because you were a fan of it and you wanted
that's why intern Lisa is doing the Harry Potter. Like, I would have done probably Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which they need to take her off fucking Harry Potter. I'm getting tired of her talking about them fucking books. It's like, review the fucking movie. Stop talking about the fucking book, shit. Hey, Lisa, love you.
She does listen to the show.
I don't give a shit. I'm still telling her about that shit. I'm tired of hearing about them fucking books, whatever. I hate when people do that shit in reviews, whatever. The book and the movie are two different media formats, whatever. You shouldn't be talking reviewing the fucking book and the goddamn movie review. You should bring up aspects of it. You shouldn't be telling me plot lines over there. I don't give a shit about that. I want to know about the movie, not the books.
So you know what? So you don't have to read the books anymore because she just told you about it.
I don't have to, whatever, because I almost forgot. When I read them, I damn near forgot them, whatever. Now she brought them back for me. I'm like, oh, fuck those books.
Yeah.
But she goes on and says, she says, why aren't you on the show anymore? How could you put up with Sock or whatever his name is? Let me finish this. That's a question for you, but I'm lipping this because it sounds funny now. He didn't even give any of the later movies of Resident Evil a chance. I can't even listen to the shows anymore. Those Resident Evil ones are old, though, right?
Oh, that was last season. That was January, February.
Oh, was it? Damn. Was yeah. I thought it was last summer or something.
Yeah, it was when I first started. When I first was able to do the show. It was
really?
The first one I did was the Pirates on Stranger Tides, and then I was there for the Resident Evils. Then I did some of the Mission Impossibles.
You didn't do anything before that? I thought
Pirates of the Caribbean was my first one.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. All right. Well, Says, I can't even listen to the shows anymore because it's just a lot of yelling. Thankfully.
I agree.
You think the song listens to this show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thankfully you don't. That's funny, it's a crossover. You don't even know about the damn show. Thankfully you two don't do this, and you guys. Okay, I'm sorry. Thankfully, okay, let me keep
this is a positive review.
Yeah, it's positive, but she's talking shit about another show here, which is that we know about, so it's kind of funny. You know? But thankfully, you two don't do this, and you guys seem like you respect each other's opinion.
No, bullshit.
Don't. Yeah, that's bullshit. No, I don't respect shit he says. I don't respect anything anybody says these days anymore. I just look at him like fucking Denzel Washington did in this movie and just smile and go, yeah.
And says, TPO jerk
that
off.
That is why you guys have a great show. Can't wait to listen to more from the two of year.
You?
I would assume she meant you. And also she says, TPO, I'm not against Lehu, but have you ever thought of having Z as a co-host?
She loves me.
Are you fucking this girl?
I don't know any Carmens.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure I know no Carmens.
Man, you need to stop drinking it. I think you know this chick or whatever. You need to tell her to call you again or something.
I don't know any Carmens.
Come on, man. Think about it. Maybe you do. Maybe that's her middle name or something.
I don't. So she's got to be. Who named their middle name Carmen?
I don't know.
That's just weird.
Who names their last name San Diego? Come on. Come on. Shit. I'm just saying here. Shit. But you just go along with it. Shit. I ain't going to question this girl's parents.
Maybe that is Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck kind of name is that? That's stupid. But it's catchy.
Where are you, Carmen? We want to have a ride the train with you.
Yeah, exactly. I think you know this girl, or you know what? She's a fan of yours. You don't know it because you're always busy and you don't have time to pay attention to women or something like that, whatever. And she's like slowly looking over your shoulder every now and then, and you just don't even glance at her, or whatever. And she's like,
so I have a stalker.
That's hot, dude. What's wrong with you?
It kind of makes me think I'm gonna have like a fatal attraction.
Awesome, man. Shit.
Thank God I don't have a rabbit.
Take it from me, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
For a small amount of time, but now...
Okay.
So, how did you put up with the sock then, or whatever his name is? That's the question.
It was very hard. I mean, you've obviously listened to those shows.
Oh yeah, I listened to them, but I find them funny.
it's very hard to get a right opinion out.
I like it. I'm not gonna lie. I love it.
Because you remember when we, I think it was Apocalypse... That we just started. Me and him were just yelling at each other.
Oh, dude, I don't remember any of this shit. I don't
remember. That's all we did on the Resident Evils. We just yelled at each other.
That's funny, Dan. I like that. I mean, you know, okay. I'll go ahead and say it. Like, I hear Carmen saying that is why you guys have a great show. Whatever it is, because she feels like we respect each other's opinion. To me, yeah, that's kind of boring. And sometimes, though, you know, I mean, as much as you know, we have agreed on most of these films we've seen or whatever. Sometimes I like most of the comedy or whatever come from us being negative towards something, or you know,
like how like one of the top shows on my site is Breaking Dawn.
Yeah,
and we how much fun do we have just ripping that movie apart?
Yeah, we couldn't even put our heads together and think about it. Whatever. I mean,
yeah, and that's why we had a comment last week about you had to say one good thing about it.
That's funny. Yeah.
So I mean, we kind of disagree on things, but we don't yell at each other and say we're stupid.
I do.
You don't say it. Well, you must say it after the fact.
I say it to you too, and I'm like, you fucking stupid. Fuck you.
You took my black card away like 7 times.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time I'm joking around, though, because I don't really give a shit, to be honest.
No, but I enjoy doing the show, so.
Yeah, what else did she say here? Like, there's a lot of yelling or whatever. I'm not gonna lie, Carmen, I kind of like the yelling. I don't know why. Because it's funny or whatever. Because, like, everybody's all calm and shit, then out of nowhere, it just comes out of nowhere. It's just, like, unexpected or whatever. I can't remember what episode it was, but him and Husky just... I think it was the last Harry Potter movie they just reviewed or whatever.
Oh, the one that Lisa told... I think intern Lisa told me about this, but I haven't listened to it yet.
I don't know if it's the new one for Azkaban. I think it's the last one. Or
Goblet of Fire.
After the show was done or whatever, him and Husky, like, they're not even yelling, but they just have, like, a sit... it almost felt like that shouldn't have been on the show or whatever, but it was just funny just hearing Jordan just, like, calmly tell him. He's like, you're wrong. He he's like, this is a good movie. Like, Jordan would make a good serial killer. Or a rapist. Either one.
Rapist.
Oh, next comment. I don't know. I like it. I just find it entertaining sometimes. Like, he snaps out of nowhere and it's funny as shit. Like, he told Husky something the other day. He's like, the fuck did you just say? I don't know. I find it funny. I don't know. I could probably see why you guys were arguing. But Molly, she says, I love the Twilight series. I understand why you guys hate it, but it isn't aimed at guys. So why is there so much hate for the series? If it isn't aimed at guys, then they need to release it in independent theaters and say women only then.
So they're being sexist.
Exactly, or whatever. Because that's what this comment sounds like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if it ain't aimed at guys, what kind of shit is that? Like, oh, it's like kids' movies. They're aimed at kids or whatever, but they make them more for adults these days, or so adults have to jump because adults have to be in there with the kids. Duh, whatever.
Yeah, and Shrek the start of that one.
Yeah, so you mean to tell me now okay, they made these Twilight series strictly for women, so I can't go see a sci-fi movie about vampires and wolves, which is what I got out of it. And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of badass. And then I saw it, and I was like, wow.
I don't remember the books very well, but when the first Twilight movie came out.
Those books were never popular. They couldn't have been popular. They didn't get popular until the fucking movies came out.
Really? I see that.
Did you hear about these books before the movies came out?
No.
Exactly. I never heard about these books. And I used to read a lot more than I do now. Now all I pretty much read is comic books these days, whatever. But I don't remember hearing about these goddamn books. My sister, she was born around when the books, and she never brought them up till the movies came out.
Yeah.
She says, why do I need to read the books when I can just go watch the movies?
Exactly.
So I was like, apparently they didn't really change much then from them books, or if you feel that way.
But I understand her point that it is not aimed at guys. But if it's not aimed at guys, don't throw in the whole vampire werewolves, because that's what's going to draw guys in.
And the thing is, it's marketed as like one of the... This movie was to come out this year, whatever. It'd be like one of the in the highest, like biggest blockbuster films of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Guys go see big blockbusters. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Give a damn what it is, whatever. We just go see if we want to get out. We go see that, whatever.
And when the whole craze, it's like you cannot turn on a TV and watch a commercial without seeing a fucking Twilight thing.
Exactly. Most people, for me personally, I don't go talking shit about a movie unless I see it. You can't talk shit about a movie you haven't seen. That doesn't make any damn sense, whatever. I gotta see Twilight, and I'm like, wow.
This is the person that put One Direction, One of Us, in the worst list before it was released.
Hey, I saw it.
You saw it after the fact.
Yeah, it was funny as shit, too, whatever. Oh, that was funny. That was funny, because I think that one won, too, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
did you guys do that yet?
No. Damn, I think One Direction did win that polling, though, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, I bet nobody even saw that fucking movie, too. I was like, that's funny, because I was expecting nobody to vote for it. I was like, I'm going to put a joke in here.
Well, it didn't even...
one was, like, leading by already, like, myself. Like, Jesus.
Well, it didn't even win the box office.
It made its money back and then some, though.
How do you not make your money back from a concert movie?
I would imagine.
Who are you paying? Where's the fucking budget going?
To YouTube. That's where you get all the clips from.
Okay.
No, but like you said, I do. I agree to disagree with that. It is an aimed at guys, but at the same time, okay. All right. That's it.
Okay. Guys have their own movies. Girls have their own movies, and those movies are Nicholas Sparks movies.
That's funny because you know what? I can go watch a girl movie though, and still like okay, I can go watch Titanic, which is pretty much a girl movie, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
I go watch these fucking Twilight movies. There's so many amateurish shit in there or whatever. So you mean to tell me that's what girls are aimed at for then? Amateurish fucking filmmaking?
And Pearl Harbor is one of my favorite movies.
Don't insult yourself now, sweetie. I like you, Molly. I like
oh,
you,
I think you're talking to me.
Oh, no, I'm talking to Molly.
Because I said Pearl Harbor is one of my favorite movies, and that's a girl. That's like kind of a chick flick.
Really?
It's a big budget chick flick.
Yeah.
But it's
I guess
one
I
of my.
It as a date, I can see it as a date film. I don't know.
But it's one of my favorite movies, so.
But yeah, that's an insult then, Molly. Don't say that about yourself. It isn't aimed at guys, whatever. That's kind of an insult for women then, saying that something is aimed for you. So you mean this is aimed for you? I mean, bad acting, bad CG, bad dialogue, whatever, bad screenwriting, whatever.
Bad influences.
Oh yeah, exactly, or whatever. I mean, I can go along with the story. As if the characters was good, you know. if you had a Denzel in there, I probably could go along with this shit.
But the only black one they had in there was Lamont that died in the second one.
Oh, good lord. So, Molly, hey, don't say that about yourself. I like you a lot, Molly. I like you so much that I think you should call me. Call me so much and we can talk about this. We can watch it together. And I'll hand you a pina colada.
Okay.
Anyway, next comment. She also goes on to say, both Ip Man movies are really good. I do like the first one more than the sequel. That's the first I've ever heard that. And you know what, Molly? Oh, hey, fuck Twilight. We can watch Ip Man together then.
Fucking. I haven't watched Ip Man 2 yet because I only have like maybe a week of Netflix left, but I'm going to be watching it very, very shortly.
Wow, that's awesome. This chick is a Twilight fan, and she says up here talking about, I saw a foreign martial arts film. And both of them at that, too. That's very rare, Molly.
I think TPO is in love.
I am in love with you, Molly. I think you need to give me a call. I'm going to leave my number in the comments below. Drew, I swear to fucking God, if you call me, I'm going to beat the living shit out of you. Molly, give me a call, though. I'm winking at you right now, okay? Anyway, next comment. Oh, yeah. Gonna get her in my bed tonight. Anyway, next comment. Deborah, judging from the sound of you eating P1, I take it you're even smiling and grinning your ass off even while eating. Sounded like you were having the biggest orgasm, LOL. I was.
What were you eating last week? A Mexican food.
Was it? I thought that was when I was in Puerto Rico.
No, it wasn't, because I went to a Mexican restaurant after the show.
Last week was the show we did when I came back?
Yeah, you had a carne asada.
Really? I don't remember now. So, yeah, sure, whatever then. Yeah, I'll take it then. I am having an orgasm. I'm having it for Molly right now. Turn me on with that Hitman comment. Waylon Preston. I like that name.
That's a powerful name.
That sounds prestigious. Sounds very... Man, it sound like I need to shine this nigga shoes right now, whatever. That's what it sounds like. He says, hey guys, first time listener here, and gotta say, I loved it. See, I'm taking it you have bad taste in films to like Mortal Instruments and think Kristen Stewart was okay. As for the phenomenal one, I take it you're the asshole. It's like, hey, that's not true. Somewhat. Anyways, great film choice, guys, and I'm a huge martial arts lover, and Ip Man is definitely one of my favorites. That's not true. I'm not an asshole.
No, you just play one on podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I just play one on the podcast.
You're trying to be like Denzel.
Now, granted, if I sleep with you and you just see nothing but a taxi voucher left in the bed or whatever, then, you know.
That's not being an asshole. That's caring because you got her a taxi.
Well, I have a couple of those, actually. It's pretty good. But anyway, yeah, like, you know, that's just me, once again, like Z says, it's just me caring about, you know, you getting home safely. And, you know,
mm-hmm. Looking out for your well-being.
Even though it is at your house. But anyway.
that would be an asshole.
Give her a taxi voucher at her house. Next comment here, which is a reply to that, he says, wow, Z, you actually like Mortal Instruments, City of... I told you, Z. Don't get shit for that, man.
I don't care.
If I recall, you said you have to be a gay or a 16-year-old girl to like this film. LOL. Which are you, Z?
Neither.
I already told you, he's both.
I'm neither.
That's why I'm going to fuck him when he turns 21. But anyway.
Why so much hate for me liking a movie?
But that movie is shit. That's why. Because you're the only one that likes it, probably.
I don't know. I've been having Twitter conversations with your one friend. It wasn't was it Corey? Cody. Cody Mike. He's asking me about
Cody Mike. Yeah, Cody Mike.
Yeah, he's asking me why I like it. I said, I think Lily Collins is going to be, like, I think she can be a huge star.
No. You know why? Because Kristen Stewart's still in her way. There's only room for one. They have to get rid of one in order to get the other. Why do you think that little black midget is always in every midget
Tony Cox?
movie? Yeah. It's because no other black midget is going to get work because of his little black ass, whatever. Until he dies, that's the only time. That's just the way these things go, man. Lily Collins can't be the next big teen sensation or whatever because Kristen Stewart's still alive. You got to get rid of that bitch in order to step it up now. You know? There can only be one.
There can only be one.
Next comment here comes from it's the last comment too we're going to read off. Jay Johnson. I like that name. Jay Johnson. Jay. You guys bring up some great points on why American films are such bad shot fight scenes compared to the Asian cinema. Why do you think this is the reason? Is it because in Asia they put more focus on their fights because of the low budgets, or simply because in America they know they can sell tickets regardless of shit fight scenes?
You made a very good point, because that's very true.
You just pretty much answered your own damn question.
Explosions.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot girls.
Chinese martial arts films don't have explosions and shit like that. I don't know if you know, but explosions cost a little bit more or whatever. And Chinese ain't dumping money onto their movies, especially because you don't need explosions and shit to make a good movie. It's nice to have in a film every now and then, whatever, but how many goddamn Chinese martial arts films you had where just the fight scenes alone are breathtaking?
Yeah, can you name one Asian film that has a lot of explosions?
The Tower.
The Tower?
Came out last year or whatever. It's independent, well, not even independent, it was independent release out here or whatever, but it's about Korea, the two towers, the biggest towers in there, falling down or whatever. There's a lot of explosions and shit in that movie.
Okay. And was there fight scenes?
No. It was more of like in the form of like I Saw the Devil more.
Okay.
Like not some fight scenes or whatever. But I thought the effects in it looked pretty good.
But, you know, Asian, they're known, I'm not being racist or nothing, but they're known for their martial arts. Mm-hmm. So obviously, America is more known for their explosions. And their breathtaking visual effects and special effects, they don't have that in Asia. I don't think they have the budget to do that.
Well, it's funny because you say we're known for the explosion special effects and shit like that. It's funny because even in bad martial arts films, the fight scenes are at least good. We're still kind of hit and miss with the special effects. You'd think by 2013 we'd have that done and down, like no special effects should ever look bad again, whatever, but we just got done talking about Twilight. Effects in that look like shit.
And you're the one that said the fight coordinator for Ip Man, they should bring him over here.
They should. They should bring his cameraman along with him, too, actually. I mean, I understand why. I think we said this in District 9 or whatever. Like, they didn't have the budget for the show, the shit they did when they killed that guy at the end of the film. That's why they zoomed the camera out. I understand why there's close-up camera shots and stuff like that, but you know, as someone that sees a fucking four movies a week now, whatever, I'd appreciate if the movie was slow paced with a fight scene that was like well shot done or whatever. Because you know, as a reviewer, I pay attention to that shit.
Yeah, like you said, they're breathtaking.
Yeah, exactly. Like even in a shitty martial arts film, whatever, at least I can say the fight scenes were spectacular in it, though. Whatever. I mean, I know a lot of bad martial arts films that are from China, or whatever. But at the same time, I can still watch them because they're enjoyable, because the fight scenes are just the way they're shot and choreographed, where it's just like, they're amazing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few movies that like are shitty out here in America, but have like great special effects to the point where I just want to watch it for those special effects.
I mean, we both said that. I think, what did we say, The Man with the Iron Fist was the last martial arts movie?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
I mean, and I'd never seen that. Obviously, you did. Was that kind of like an insult? Because I've heard pretty bad things about that movie.
Well, it's got great reviews. Well, not great reviews, but it's got a...
average?
It's positive on Rotten Tomatoes, so, you know, I mean, I think I gave it more credit. I don't think it's an insult for because of RZA. Obviously, everybody knows RZA, Wu-Tang Clan. Obviously, they call themselves the Wu-Tang Clan because all they do is fucking watch martial arts films. He actually went to China and studied their culture for the film and shit like that.
Did he really?
Yeah, he spent like a month out there, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever, and was like studying. Like, even though this dude's been growing up watching these films, whatever, he still felt the need to go out there and learn more about it to make the film. And I thought he captured most of it perfectly.
That's very dedicated.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially for a first-time director, too. You don't see that.
RZA was in G.I. Joe, wasn't he? Yeah, was he the blind master?
That shit was hilarious. The blind... He had a Japanese accent, too. Oh, the RZA. You're one of my favorite black actors just because you make me laugh when you come on screen. That dude... Because
you make me laugh.
He just makes me laugh. I just like, man, he wants to be Asian so bad.
Well, there is no. There is a surgery you can do for that.
Yeah, I was going to tell him. Yeah, it is. Go look up Michael. But no, I thought he handled it for a first-time director as far as the fight scenes go. I thought he handled it pretty well. I would give him, matter of fact, I gave that movie a high rating. I gave it more credit than out of any for a first-time director.
And wasn't Russell Crowe in that movie?
Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe. Who else was in it? Dave Bautista. There's another big actor in there. I forgot now. I think Russell Crowe was the biggest actor from them. I think Lucy Liu was in it. God, there was some other guy, too. I don't remember who it was now.
Well, yeah, if you got Russell Crowe, that is probably the biggest name you're going to have in there. I didn't know RZA directed it.
Yeah, well, especially because, you know, Russell Crowe, that was like, I think Les Mis came out 3 months afterwards, so you already knew, like, that was an Oscar nominee or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's got some singing and dancing and shit in there, so, you know.
Chung Lee, the MMA fighter,
yeah,
was in that. Lucy Liu, like you said. Jamie Chung, who was the wife in Hangover 2. Rick Yoon, who is the bad guy in Fast and the Furious, and Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah. So, yeah, Russell Crowe's the biggest actor here. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yep, so, yep, that's another episode, Throwback Tuesday. Another long episode, actually. I just looked at the time, I was like, damn, that was pretty long.
But we have fun.
Phenomenal one. MovieSpoilsPodcast.com.
This is Z, thefancritic.com.
And I'm about to go eat some more salmon. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there is a peace train. Country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.